The universe doesn't give us what we want. The universe gives us who we are. And if I choose myself today, I wonder what the future looks like. Now that's a place that I want to live. And that's available to everybody. And that's the best part about it. Doesn't matter what physical vessel you're in, doesn't matter how much money's in your bank account, doesn't matter how many followers you have or what you've created. If we can access this as individuals on this planet, the vibration that we start to attract likes in a vibrational reality from a deep place of self-worth, now that's actually starting to anchor in heaven on earth within your own unique experience.
Thank you for making your way down the coast from beautiful Topanga to beautiful Laguna Beach and blessing us with your beauty and extraordinary power. I've seen you since day one. I've honored you since we've met in the material. And you're one of a few people that has brought me so much joy over the last 6 to 9 months. There's something energetically about you that is different. And it's an honor to have you here on Wake the Fake Up, Blue. How are you today?
Well, I'm having the best day already so far. I cruised on down, driving from Topanga, in my car, taking business calls, checking in with my friends. Before I knew it, I had arrived. I showed up at your house already. It's like such a welcome sight to be in this home with you and these incredible, remarkable humans. And then you gifted me a giant Symbiotica box full. It was like Christmas, birthday, and Hanukkah all in the same breath, full of all of the magical superfood stuff. And so I'm just kind of like floating on cloud nine right now. We just had Jamie just like bless up the space with a singing bowl and some Palo Santo. And I'm feeling like really happy and honored to be on the podcast with you, my bro.
You are completely loaded up on all levels. And I didn't ask you to bring up Symbiotica, but that was
something
that we wanted to offer you and show up for you in that way. Aww. And almost feel a calling to steward you in every way, shape, or form in terms of health. And you know, when it's recognized on how much energy you're putting out in the world and really showing up for people around you in the most authentic way, you know, there's no other offering that I can provide is just show up how I can regarding health and life and wisdom and all those things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had such a beautiful cathartic ceremonial conversation on the Deja Blue podcast. And I still from time to time go back to that conversation, and I'm constantly getting people always sending me parts of it. And it really shook something up in people along with me. And I really just wanted to say thank you again for providing and holding space for me to access parts that were almost felt a little bit suppressed. And I was able to just open up with clarity. And I learned something about myself just watching that. You know, when I left your house, I don't even remember anything we talked about. I was just high. And it took me to have to actually sit down and watch it to really, you know, feel into what happened there. And I just want to say thank you for holding that space. It was really beautiful.
It is such a profound podcast in the sense of when I was in conversation with you and like looking into your eyes, the cameras completely disappeared. And it was just a deep, deep listening. And it wasn't a listening with my ears. It was a listening with the entirety of my body in full reverence for the life of devotion that you have offered to be able to not only hear yourself from a cellular level all the way through mentally, physically, spiritually, sexually, financially, and multidimensionally across all planes of existence, but then also to alchemize some of the most challenging times in life and turn it into your service to the whole. So being able to hear the education, the knowledge, the wisdom, and also the life's experience that you then had to offer on the podcast while just being in complete listening beyond the ears and in the full body reverence of who you are, that I think is the perfect ingredient to allow somebody to feel seen, acknowledged, heard, to then open up to deeper parts of themselves that they didn't even know they had access to. And so being able to watch you unravel on the podcast and to go on that, it was a journey together, and knowing that that now lives an asset out into the world that just can live on and continue to create value in other people's lives, it was truly an honor to share that space with you. So thanks also for coming on the Deja Blue podcast and having that conversation that is etched in my heart forever.
All of that resonates at the, you know, at the cymatic level, the vibration and sound hitting together. I can feel that. And I love the idea of things living on, right? And we're able to go into these higher apex moments, these clairvoyant moments, these moments of really pulling authenticity out. You know, every time I'm interviewed or I'm going on a podcast, I make sure I don't know what they're going to ask me or what we're going to talk about, because I want to really pull it from my loins. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened on the Deja Blue podcast. And that's something that we talked about doing today. You know, it's coming really authentic, you know, not really having generalized questions or go through an interview process, but to really feel into what's going on right now and pull it out and be able to hold space for it. And so you are a dynamic being. You've gone through multiple layers of evolution like we all have. Mm-hmm. And it feels like you really found your niche, so to speak, on what you're here to do, your purpose-driven life. And I watch your content, I experience your content, and it's a whole range of deep esoteric wisdom, but also rooted in fun and joy and love and playfulness, while also being a serious badass and being straight up and not pulling punches and not giving a fuck if you're going to offend someone. We talked about cancel culture. We talked about people feeling really, I would say, vulnerable to a point where they can't hear the truth. We're in that state. Sometimes I have to be careful with what I want to talk about and things of that. I don't want to ruffle too many feathers because I'm trying to get people healthy. All these different things are going on and swirling around. How are you right now in a place of authentic glory where you can offer your truth out and feel comfortable in doing so? And how did you get to this point right now where we are?
Beautiful opening first question. And it is so ripe with something that I have recently been uncovering and understanding in a really deep way that has not only started within myself, but is also in society at large. It's not always been this way. And it's not just given. It is earned. And it is earned over a life of devotion, recognizing that when one is committed to knowing thyself on every level and fiber of our essence, this is a life's work, not a season. This isn't something that I turn on and switch off. This is a devotion to truth that lies within myself, devotion to truth of resonance of that that enriches my spirit over that that depletes my spirit, to be curious enough to continue to face off with who I was yesterday and to recognize that the only competition that I have is with who I was yesterday. No one else outside of myself. And the only person I ever want to impress is my five-year-old self. That's it. There's no one else on my altar that I'm trying to impress. I have a photo of me as a kid, and I look into her eyes and I say, how do you think I'm showing up? How do you feel about how I'm showing up today? And she's got some things to say. And what she's letting me in on is like, hey, you were so powerful when you were five because there was no other narrative that was telling you that you would be loved if you did X, Y, and Z. You just were. So if we were born inherently worthy, when did we get caught up in the narrative that we're not? Because that's got to be an illusion. So if I were to sit in a space 5 years ago, when I first started on the hearing journey, and we can go into that later, but when I first started realizing I couldn't hear the space as much as I would like to, I came down to the question of, am I worthy to be in this space if I can't hear what's going on or if I'm not contributing anything? And the answer was no. If I'm not saying anything, if I'm not peacocking, if I'm not showing off with that I've done, achieved or X, Y, or Z, or I've done this, or I've created this and telling everyone about it, and I'm just sitting there in silence and observing the space, am I worthy enough to be in the space of game changes in this conversation or in this meeting? And the answer was no. That is deeply problematic.
That was 5 years ago?
That was about 5 years ago. I couldn't answer that question that I was feeling inherently worthy. And I think that from the moment we're born, we are inundated with dogma and ideologies that tell us that we're not worthy unless we have X, Y, and Z. So we're up against not only our own programming from the moment that we took our first breath, but we're also up against a whole lineage of belief systems that run in the sanskaras, the memory of our DNA that we enter into this world with, whether it's our mother, our mother mothers, or our father father, or seven generations back. But there's a lot of curriculum here to move through. And so the curiosity was the thing that allowed me to continue to chip away with what's actually authentic based off of a place of feeling. And what I've learned is that there's two paths that I could have walked down in this life, which was to live somebody else's map of consciousness, to completely jeopardize or sacrifice what I'm actually feeling to ensure that I live somebody else's shoes of what success is, which will ensure that I stay numb, or to face off with the harsh truths and be disliked and judged and cast aside and given every label under the sun, but live true to my authentic essence and my being. And realize that if I do the harder path, the rewards are tenfold, because it's starting to create a life of living from the inside out, not from the outside in. And it's living based off of a place of feeling, not based off of a place of somebody else's map of consciousness of what success is. And so this is the shift that I find with the followers and the leaders. And the leaders aren't necessarily wanting to be leaders. They're just those that have become curious enough to listen beyond their ears into the truest nature of what their heart is saying. And as long as it's not harming any other individual, acting upon that.
That was key what you just said right there. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not harming other people. Mm-hmm. Because people would think that the ladder that you were choosing, that I've chosen, is a life of complete disregard, complete blasphemy, running around like a tornado, destroying everything in its path, and not having any class whatsoever, when in fact, it's quite the opposite. Mm-hmm. It's you standing in your truth and your freedom and the sovereignty that's bestowed to you as a human on this earth, mm-hmm. and not having to associate with what societal norms are, or keeping up with the Joneses, or keeping up with this and having to compete. It's interesting. I posted about this today. And I was like, why are we so caught up with the influencer out there? Most of these influencers aren't even living an authentic life. Mm-hmm. And it's creating such fear and such pain and such comparison. It's basically like elementary and middle school and high school all replayed again throughout social media. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's beautiful to receive that you have chosen the path that most people haven't. And was this obvious for you? Or did it take some trial and error? Because I know a lot of people in there are listening to this and they get motivated and inspired and they want to start living in their authenticity and not be stuck to a program and not be feeling like they're judged by everyone, family, friends, sphere of influence, social media, whatever it is. Where did it start to evolve? How did you crack through that? Mm-hmm. I know that you grew up in an aristocratical family on the island of England. Mm-hmm. How are you able to deprogram some of these things and step into your full?
I mean, I would say that there's still definitely degrees of where I'm not fully stepping into my full. So it's definitely
like
a journey.
Like what?
I mean.
Like bring it. Let's get into it.
Where I'm not fully stepping into my fullness. Well, first and foremost, I really unearthed a deep program yesterday where there is some belief system specifically as a woman in society that wants to be chosen.
Okay. A woman wants to be desired.
Wants to be desired or chosen, and having a program that says like, I need to feel worthy by some sense of external validation, specifically in a partnership, that when the partner then chooses me, I will feel a sense of validation or self-worth. Now, this is a very deep problematic program that is running in the psyche of so many of us, specifically women, but all of us, that is saying that if I'm alone, then there's something inherently unworthy about me. Mm. And the only person ever, 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 ever that can fill this void is oneself. Mm. And there's one thing to say it with words, and there's another thing to actually feel the essence of what life would look like when you don't need anyone outside of you to validate your presence, recognizing for the rest of your life, you're going to be judged. Whether you live a life of alignment, whether you live a life of truth based off of what it feels from the inside out, or you live somebody else's life and you trudge away at somebody else's dreams expecting to get success or some sense of feeling, it doesn't matter. People are going to judge you regardless. Mm. Period.
Yeah.
So I would rather be judged for living a life of alignment than be judged for living somebody else's life. And to accept that if I was to actually return all of that sense of choosing from the outside in to choose myself in those moments, then this is where true magnetism and power is born. And you actually create way more with much less effort. Mm-hmm. This is the magnetic principle of drawing that towards you that is meant for you because you are home to receive it. If you are not home in your authentic nature, how on earth are you going to receive the gift that was shipped to the house? You're not home.
That's right.
And we are no separate from nature. We are nature. Mm-hmm. And if you look at nature, you see how abundant she is. Now, we have believed and convinced ourselves that we're separate from nature. This is a lot of the issues on the planet. And therefore, we're not allowing ourselves to receive the abundance of our true inherent worth by birth, by birthright. We are worthy. But we have built all of these belief systems that say we are inherently unworthy until we get this, until I have been chosen, until I have been accepted by somebody, until my parents say that I'm doing a good job. For the first 3 years, or however long, actually longer than 3 years of our entire life, we knew ourselves through the eyes of our mother or through the eyes of our parents. Mm-hmm. So we, at the foundation of our entrance into this world, is if I pick up something and it's not okay, mom says no. And then I know that that's wrong.
Right.
But I'm only knowing that's wrong through the eyes of somebody else, not self-validating or self-understanding that this is what my true north is. And so there's a lot of rewriting that wants to be done. And so to go back to your question of like, what has it taken for me to get to this point of where I'm at right now? It's a shit ton of unlearning. Unlearning what my parents said to me when I was a kid of what was right and wrong based off some binary experience from the Christian tradition. To unlearn what my teachers have told me around what is right and wrong based off of the same grading scale. You place 22 individual, uniquely individual kids in the same class and judge them or base them off of the same grading scale. When you have a scientist and an artist sitting next to each other and you deem the artist bad because the artist didn't get a good grade in that specific class, and now that child for the rest of its life believes that it's bad. When you're trying to judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree.
What you just said right there is a perfect illustration for people to receive. Keep going, because that's clarity in itself. We're putting everyone in the same box and expecting the same answer when we're dynamic beings with dynamic souls. You know, our worthiness is based on the validation that was given to us. So what happened yesterday? Let's get in there. And how'd you get through it?
So I was in a really deep meditation and I was understanding, it's the first time in 7 years I'm single. And I didn't realize that I had an unconscious program that was running. Unconscious being that it's not in the forefront of my awareness. So it's sitting further back. And it's playing that there's like a energy that kind of like, I wonder if this is it. I wonder if this is it. I wonder. And I realize that when I'm in partnership, that's not in my peripheral vision because I'm like locked into partnership. So no one's a potential. Nothing needs to be validated. I'm in my partnership, kind of playing in a comfort zone. Is it
a safety or a comfort? Yeah.
It's like a comfort zone.
Right, okay.
It's like, oh, this is good. I got my thing.
Yeah.
But being single for the first time in 7 years with this new state of awareness, which is meaning that when you become more evolved or self-aware, it doesn't mean that the bullshit doesn't show up. It just means that you're more aware of it.
Right.
So shit's still going to hit the fan. You're human. You're in this human experience. You can't evolve yourself out of the exhale of the human experience. We also have to have the exhale for the inhale,
sure.
The dark side of the moon. The light side of the moon.
That's right. It's just like fasting or doing a Vipassana.
Yeah.
The blinders start to wear off. Okay, keep going.
Exactly. So the understanding of the shadow nature, of the insidious roots that it takes that actually creates an energetic signature behind my decisions, that's the stuff I want to get into. And so when I started to actually notice that there was some desire for validation coming outside of myself through the acknowledgement of others in my worth. And it has, if I was to give an action to that energy, it's like this. I'm not doing that actually in the space, but my energy is ungrounded and out of my body because there is still a desire for validation for my presence found in partnership over the past 7 years. Mm. But it's not been exposed until I was out of partnership was when I started to detect that frequency. Mm. And so then I sat with what would all of my potential future timelines, what I say future timelines being like the infinite amount of things that could happen from this point forward, what would it look like if I actually embodied the essence of genuine self-worth because I choose myself? Done. I don't need you to tell me that I'm doing a good job. I don't need you to have a crush on me to tell me that I'm attractive and I'm valid as a partner. I don't need this reputable person to tell me that I have done such a good job because I did something brilliant in the space. But what would it look like if I sit in a room of powerful beings and not need to say anything and feel deeply chosen? Mm. That is power. Insecurity is allowed. Power is silent. And I fell into, or like dropped into, the marination and the essence of that frequency. And I saw all of these potential timelines working out in a way of ease and grace and expansion, because it's meeting me of where I'm at, recognizing the universe doesn't give us what we want. The universe gives us who we are. And if I choose myself today, I wonder what the future looks like. Now that's a place that I want to live. And that's available to everybody. And that's the best part about it. Doesn't matter what physical vessel you're in. Doesn't matter how much money is in your bank account. Doesn't matter how many followers you have or what you've created. If we can access this as individuals on this planet, the vibration that we start to attract, likes attracts likes in a vibrational reality from a deep place of self-worth, now that's actually starting to anchor in heaven on earth within your own unique experience. And so the root of it is self-love. And to get to that point, it's a journey. And I'm still on it. And I'm a student of it. But this literally was a piece that like I started to detect yesterday. So when you're like, okay, well, we're not going to plan the direction of the podcast. We're just going to let you go for what most alive. This is the most alive thing for me. And I haven't spoken about it yet. And I'm still in the integration, and even communicating it, it helps me to integrate this piece in a deeper way.
This is my favorite conversation in terms of what we're talking about, because this is a big part of my self-identity and my message and things that I've worked through. You know, I had a very overbearing mother. I had a mother that was on top of me, telling me that this is the way to do it. This is not the way to do it. Your self-worth is this high. You got to be this good. You have to be the best. Mm-hmm. In Farsi, they call it Dudu Tale, which means golden something. And that was a self-identification that I had, that I had to be always at top of my game, top of the class, best, best, best. And it put a lot of pressure on me. Mm-hmm. And it put me in a position where I only felt like if I had fallen off a little bit in any of those dynamic categories, that I was a shell of myself. And I was not good enough. And it created a lot of, you know, different unravelings of my consciousness. And I had to work through those things over the last 12, 15 years to the point where I'm, you know, still practicing that every day. And I'm saying that right now because you said something that stood out to me, and I think it was offline, is that who you are today is not who you were yesterday. And I can say that on a physiological level. I can say that on an epigenetical level. We can say it on a biochemical level, that you're completely transformative every breath, every moment, astrologically, emotionally, everything. And so chop wood, carry water, become enlightened, become utopic, remove the false identity, the Maya runs out of you, and then all of a sudden, what do you got to do? You got to chop wood and carry water. So this is a disciplinary act. This is practicing. This is how you do anything, is how you do everything. So are you now looking at this, you know, I would say nirvana moment of complete true freedom and saying, okay, now I can see, now I can feel, now this has to become a practice. How does this become a practice to Blue? How does this sustain? We are human. Of course, things are going to happen. We're going to feel a spear on our side here and there. Things are going to happen. But what is your, I would say, almost your prescription to being able to maintain this and keep going further and further, so that when a partner does come along, you are truly meeting that person with your glass completely full, overfilling, and it's synergy, not 1 + 1 = 2. It is infinite.
So I think that the greatest gift we could ever give anybody is the gift that we've given ourselves first. And what I mean by that is that if I'm to truly listen with empathy towards you, I must first have listened to empathy towards my own inner workings. I cannot hold space for you if I'm not holding space for me. I will judge you if I'm judging my own experience. All judgment is rooted in self-judgment. So my practice is continuing to monitor the energetic hygiene of my thoughts. This is what's going to ensure that something done over a series of time creates a new default or a character. And so for me, anytime there are thoughts that are not pure, that are judging another, that are putting someone down, that are nitpicking at the way that I'm showing up in life, is to continue to free my internal narrative out of a binary experience. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in my room and all of a sudden I feel about, thought about this person that said something about me and I'm sitting there and I'm spewing on it and I'm going, how dare that person, I can't believe he said that. All of a sudden it's like, catch yourself in that moment.
Mm.
And it's almost like I am the queen of a court and a very horrible jokester jester comes in. And it's up to me to entertain this jester or to ask this jester to leave because it's actually polluting the space. And so if I'm the queen on my throne and this jester comes in and is cracking some horrible jokes and it's making a mess and he's making a mess, I'm going to ask that jester to leave my court. Well, I do that same thing with negative and positive thoughts and to become mindful that I am not those thoughts, but those thoughts are here taking up real estate in my consciousness that is emanating out into a vibratory reality, which can only give me more of who I am. And so it's a very filtered moment in the mundane experiences. And what I like to say is like, I actually don't know really much about life. The only two things I know how to do well is to pray and to play. And so filling my mundane moments, instead of feeding into negative, charged, gossipy, judgmental energetics and feeding that gesture to stay in my court, that therefore is the energy I'm emitting, to actually be really mindful that recognizing and rooting my core values in all judgment is rooted in self-judgment. And so if I'm judging another, where in my part of my psyche do I not feel evolved or have a lack of awareness in that area of my life? And how can I pull myself forward into a deeper place of wholeness? Now, this is a devotional life's work of devoting myself to my higher self, being a disciple of my higher self. And so it's only found in the mundane moments, not the highlight reel. It's not the champagne popping moments. Right. It is the moments in between accept all, reject none in my psyche. And it is a constant filtering practice. But what this does on a daily, minutely, secondly basis is that it accumulates and allows me to every 75 trillion cells of my body to start humming at the frequency of embodiment.
Mm-hmm.
And embodiment is genuinely, embodiment and authenticity are two of the most magnetic qualities that exist. Now, another piece is getting really clear on what it is that I want.
Mm.
If I'm moving through life and I am not clear on what it is that I want to create, if I can't answer to you as clearly as what I want to create as what my name is, then I'm not getting really clear with the universe.
Mm.
And so it's taking the time, instead of sitting in my room and gossiping about people, which I literally is like, I cannot think of anything worse.
Thank you for saying that. That's a big, big poison spell that's wrapped around this entire world. It's the Wetiko virus, in my opinion. The gossip is so insane.
It's like, yeah. And it's like addictive.
It's addiction. It's dopamine.
Makes me nauseous in my stomach.
Yeah, yeah. And the big systems know that, and that's why it's being pushed and pushed and pushed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turning. It's, I mean, divide and conquer, and then rotten your own core. But keep going. And I just want to jump in there and just say this. A big anthroposophical meditation is tune in to what irritates you about others. That's a massive, massive way of doing an inward spiral on your own center point and seeing exactly what it is about yourself that you can't let go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's internal freedom. And that is the philosophy of freedom. So that's beautiful that this is a part of your practice. And because you're able to clear those, you're able to make space on getting clarity with what it is you want to do.
Exactly. And also the reframing of the stories, because stories are only for creation.
Right.
So what stories are you telling yourself? Because you are literally just creating more of it. And stories are reframing stories of negative stories that you're telling yourself about what is. Reframing those stories is the path to freedom.
Mm.
That we're going to get it as close as we can to the truth, but we don't actually know the truth. And there was one of my teachers said to me once, I don't know what the truth is, but I know what love feels like. And I follow that every day. And so in this pursuit of understanding what's the closest thing I can get to my vibrational truth, my alignment, what my heart and my body is telling me on an expansive scale, if I start to get really clear on the vision, now it's like I'm loading a straight arrow into the bow. I'm going to expect to hit the target. Mm. If I don't have intention, if I don't have clarity around what it is that I'm creating, then I'm just loading a bent arrow into the bow and then expecting it to hit the target.
Right.
So like, why? What's our why before we start running?
Right.
Why are we creating what we're creating? Are we creating just to run in a hamster wheel to do the same thing and expect different results? Or are we creating because actually my greatest inheritance that I can ever pass to my children, my loved ones, my family, and the world is to show up and love what I do. Because for the rest of our lives, all we have is the present moment. This is it forever.
Right now.
Right now.
This is it.
Past and future is an illusion, doesn't exist.
That's right.
So what I'm doing in this moment, if I showed up here today and I didn't want to be here, and it's like, oh, I can't be bothered with this. And I show up, I'm doing the things, I'm ticking everything off the box. But I'm asking for the universe for more of who I am. And who I am is compromised. So what am I going to get more of? Compromise.
Right.
Compromise everywhere. Compromise everywhere. Compromise, half-heartedness. It will give you something to do, but it's not going to take you forward. It's like sitting on a rocking horse. You're like rocking around, but you ain't going anywhere. And so this is an inertia state of the collective consciousness, is that we're doing, but we're not moving forward. And so recognizing that when I'm actually getting curious enough around what the vision is, what I want to create, really mapping it out, and then showing up in my highest excitement, my greatest joy in the present moment, recognizing having a conversation with you is something that brings me so much joy and excitement. Now, my inheritance, my passing, my gift to you is my full intoxicating presence. Now imagine if we do this in every area of our lives, like what it is that we're creating, whether it's making jewelry or making a beautiful dish or just going for a walk with the dog in the evening, but I give it my full undivided presence. Well, then the next step that is created for you from that place of who you are is that you went all in. And then living a life of full devotion can become a very rich place to be. So this is a practice, and this is something that is on a minutely basis. And this is something that has taken over a decade of refining, and it will continue to be until I take my last breath, for me to be curious enough to be the student of life and to listen beyond the ears. Because I think one of the greatest pandemics on the planet is that we've actually forgotten how to listen. Listen to ourselves, listen to our gut, listen to what it is that our bodies are saying, listen to our children, listen to nature. Listen to that plant that you're about to pick and ask its permission before you actually pick the plant. Like, this is a listening that does not exist with the ears. And a lot of my journey is that spirit has taken away my hearing. Because the question I got left with is, what am I not listening to? And that has been a decade of answering that question. But now when I'm in the presence of people, I'll give you my undivided attention. I will always give you my undivided attention, because if I don't, I can't hear you. But that's forced me to be present with life. And when you're actually here, there's a lot of beauty to be found. But the suffering exists when we're living in some past or future timeline, expecting things to be different. The most sacred thing is what is, and what is right in front of me. And if I can soften deeper into it, I will understand why this is happening. And this is going to shift me to create a consciousness outside of victim consciousness.
Right.
And create a consciousness is not easy in the sense that you have to take ownership for everything that's present, but it also means you have the power to shift it.
Right. You know, everything's not turning you into a victim. It's sort of just like 55th key, right? You know,
gene key of freedom.
Vaporizing our, you know, our suffering as a result of an action or a circumstance or something that's happening where there's an aggressor and someone who's taking the blame. I really love receiving all this. It's interesting. You're really speaking how I feel about what I'm offering the world in terms of context and perspective, that every single breath counts. And how you do anything is how you do everything, and bringing the ceremony back to every parts of your life.
Even flossing your teeth.
Exactly.
That is a ceremony.
Every little thing.
Put the floss away after complete the ceremony. I would say that to my ex-partner. He would never put the toothpaste lid back on the toothpaste. And it's a ceremony. We complete it. We put the toothpaste lid back on. We complete the ceremony. That one microcosm moment is symbolic of where are you leaving everything at 90%. It may just be a toothpaste cap, but it's about your presence. And it's training the mind to come back to the ceremony of brushing your teeth so that you can come back to the ceremony of life, which is the biggest ceremony there is. people are like, why are you dressed up today, Blue? Look at this fancy outfit on. I'm like, because I'm showing up for the ceremony of life. We're alive. It's the greatest thing ever. Are you kidding me? My soul dropped into this quantum computer of infinite capacity, can never be made by man. I have 75 trillion cells in my body that only have two main jobs: to listen and to respond to my internal narrative. The power that lives within me while simultaneously recognizing that I am plugged into a network that is interconnected all of us, and that anytime I put one finger out, it's four fingers back, because I am deeply interconnected to you. And anytime I judge you, I'm judging a part of myself that doesn't have awareness. This is what it means to actually drop into this reality, is to say thank you for being alive. Mm. It's the greatest gift and the greatest adventure besides death, which is merely just a man-made concept of moving into the next phase of the eternal soul. Mm. It's a gift. Mm. And when we can actually say thank you, the world we live in will show us more things to be grateful for.
Aho, thank you for taking me down that ceremony right now. I mean, I'm feeling all my cells, all my meridian points, my nerve endings, everything's tingling right now. I feel like I'm on a dose of medicine and niacin all together, because blood is flowing and I'm seeing myself through you, through your voiced poetry. And it's not coming from your throat chakra. It's coming from your entire being. And it's so expansive to the point where I'm having visions of all these different experiences, and I keep telling myself, no, stay present, Shervin. Do not go into that thought. Do not go into that thought. But it's evoking that magic. Mm-hmm. And that is the vision of paradise, you know, dropping the false identity and being so hyper-present. And the thing with the toothpaste is a very powerful statement. I want to just backtrack to that a little bit, because I'm seeing myself, you know, I always talk about being organized and being present with what you're doing. And these are things that I'm working on getting better and better and better. And by putting the top back on, it creates completion, mm-hmm. right? And the completion is a practice of honor. Mm-hmm. And that's why the samurai and the ancients and the magis and all that stuff, they were so critical on what you start, you complete before you take on something else. And I find myself in a world right now where I'm multitasking like 10 billion things at once. My mind, my heart, my soul, my thoughts, my emotions are going in different directions. I got to make critical decisions every second, and it's blurring everything out. And I feel that burden by 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And I feel totally ungrounded in those, you know, moments. And hearing you say that and articulate it with such beauty and such conviction, I mean, it is re-downloading and re-uploading into my internal CPU. So I really appreciate that. I'm going to be replaying that sequence over and over and over, because I know it inherently, but it's a practice that needs to be had.
It's a practice.
It's a muscle.
You strengthen that muscle. Correct. Repetition. Consistency.
Repetition. Just like working out, just like the way you eat, just like the water you drink, all those things. And at the end of the day, I think all of this is under the umbrella of self-love, right? Like, you're actually, Blue is choosing this for herself, yeah. right? And it might not be easy at first, but then once you get a taste of it and the momentum gets going, mm-hmm. there's no looking back. It's just like coming out of a ceremony for 3 days in the jungles. You're like, wait, how could I live any other way than this? Right? Mm-hmm. And I just want to take a second and honor the growth that you have and what you're doing, because this is what is needed today. It's not this revolution of the government or breaking the system down, or we're going to, you know, find some kind of way of fighting back. No. It's an inward creational point of standing in your truth. We're in a spiritual war right now. Mm-hmm. You know, the demons of darkness, in my opinion, are invading our souls on a high level. It's because there's so much numbness and escapism in the body right now. And people are not building the faculties that our design inherently designed us to incarnate in. We're losing those faculties. And so this right here is at the center point of building those faculties. Just like Waldorf education, we got to build the intuitive mind. We cannot drown that mind. The spirit needs intuition. We talked about that earlier today when, during discussion. I asked you a question and Blue goes, I think that's an intuitive thing. You need to feel into that, Shervin. And I took that and I was like, yeah, you're right. That's intuitiveness. It's not some piece of knowledge or some information that's going to make me capable of making a better decision. I had to intuit that. And this is all building an intuitive core that can blossom into flowers and flowers and flowers. Okay. Thank you for that ceremony. Mm. Let's keep it going. What are you scared of? Mm. What is Blue scared of? Where do you feel fear ever? Mm. You're still human. Where's the fear?
Well, I'm pulling almost a blank where I let fear in the driving seat. There's definitely fear in my life, but not in the driving seat. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is that there's going to be multiple versions of ourselves that will be navigating the world. It's almost like that Disney movie, like Inside Out or something like that. They're like different personalities within one's consciousness. And so, for example, like before I stand on stage and I give a talk and I've got 3,000 people staring at me, my heart's pounding, my face has gone red, I'm sweating in peculiar places, I'm like nervous, I've got a little fear pulsing through my body, I've also got a lot of excitement pulsing through my body. When I feel that fear in that moment, that's not going to be the reason why I don't walk on that stage. I'm going to feel it in my entirety and I'm going to use that as rocket ship fuel, and then I'm going to blow my own mind, and then the other side of it be like, I did that. And I now know for the rest of my life that I created that. So I now know I can do that moving forward. And so there's been many areas of fear, whether it's like I had $400 in my bank account once and I decided to take on a property that was $11,000 a month rent just to birth a community. And I went directly into the core of my fear, which is the fear of running out of money and having to be on the side of the road and be like, help me, I need some help. And I went right into the core of it and I blasted it out through a series of just like magical synchronicity, divine intervention, and big aha moments of realizing actually I can create that level of abundance every month, which now has become a part of who I am. I know I can create that default because I pushed myself right into the thing that scared me the most, that was keeping me trapped in the loop of only having $400 in my bank account. So I had to go into the core of it and then prove myself wrong against a belief system that maybe didn't even start with me. And so I use fear as false evidence appearing real. And then I'm so curious by my nature to go right to the center of it. So I use fear as my greatest teacher. And as it currently stands, where I feel like I'm learning to navigate this world in a completely different way is when about 70% of my hearing seemingly is taken away from me, how I navigate the world through social anxiety. Mm. Because I walk into a room full of people and it's like a Muppet show. It's like, and I'm just like, I have no idea what it is that you're saying to me right now. Then all of a sudden this person seems to be important, for example, right? Based off of what we call important. I don't know, everybody's important, but like this person is like, I don't know, the founder of this big bank or whatever you want to say, introducing me, and there's Blue, and all of a sudden I'm supposed to know what's going on, and in comes the social anxiety because this guy's just talking at me and he's got Muppet mouth and I'm like, ah, and in comes the social anxiety and the desire to no longer want to be in this space. So instead of becoming a hermit while I'm starting to lose my hearing, it's to go deeper into those spaces and create genuine one-on-one connection with people and not let the fear be the reason why I never go out anymore. Mm. And so what I've actually learned is that when I'm connecting one-on-one and I feel someone and I feel I go past the fear and into genuine listening to them, the fear dissipates and a deeper level of connection is born on the other side of what seemingly is an issue. And so I genuinely subscribe to the belief that I am an eternal soul. And once I've made complete peace with death, I've actually learned how to live. And there's a softening in my being that I'm not afraid that this is going to be over in a second, mm-hmm. but more so that I could be over in a second. So let's go all in. Mm. And that for me has allowed me to renegotiate my relationship with fear and become the student of fear. And fear now guides me into the places where the gold lies on the other side of a belief system. Right. So now I'm standing on stages in front of hundreds of people and I'm delivering talks, or I'm singing in a ceremony. I can't hear my own voice and I'm singing. That scared the shit out of me to put myself in a position where people are judging me based off of how I'm singing right now. And I don't even hear my own voice, and to do it anyway, because I'm not singing for you. My song is a prayer. It's not a performance. And so every single day is a prayer to be able to transmute the fear that lies on a cellular level or on a psychic level or mentally, physically, spiritually, sexually, financially, multidimensionally. It doesn't matter what plane it exists on, but it's holding a part of my essence captive. And when my hearing started decreasing, I started operating in a realm that lives beyond appearance. It's just essence. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck what it is that you do. Bless, thank you for your work. And who are you, and how much do you love people? How much do you care for the people that are around you? How much love do you allow in and out on a daily basis? That's all that matters at the end of the day, because when you pass away, when I pass away from this physical experience, no one's going to talk about how many followers you had on Instagram.
That's right.
But they are going to talk about how you made them feel.
That's right.
And that's literally all it comes down to. So we can create the beautiful things. And if we want to have the beautiful car, great. You worked hard for it. Go get it. Fuck yeah. Epic. Massive celebration. We're here in the 3D. We get to play with these things. But the second that our worth is placed to these things, or the second that we are there grasping onto these things because without them I'm nothing, it's a deeply problematic path, and it's a slippery slope, and it's where the majority of our collective consciousness is sitting at. So how can we use fear to be our greatest ally and our greatest teacher, and recognize that it's false evidence appearing real? And if it's false evidence, that means that some psychic part of my psyche and my essence is being held captive. And how can I free it? By going right into the thing that scares us the most.
Right. That's beautiful. Yeah. The stepping into the fire and allowing the flames to burn you, to show you what's under the skin, what's under the surface, is the great, I would say, artistic metaphor of life. And it reminds me of, you know, different passages in Sufi poetry where, you know, Rumi or Hafez said, I ventured into the desert to get cooked by the sun. And that's where I was able to feel the pain. And the pain is where my love for the world was revealed. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where, you know, we've got so stuck and identified ourselves through the fear, you know, because the fear comes in so many different directions. I mean, you mentioned abundance and financial stuff. I mean, our society is, you know, captured almost by this debt slave capitalistic system where you need abundance just to drink clean water today. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of people out there suffering under this to the point where they have despised abundance and have actually, you know, retracted it from their ecosystem and are now living in a pseudo poverty conscious or lack mentality. Mm-hmm. And I see that all too often when the whole time the gift is right there inside of them. To be able to kind of move that energy away so they can then receive it and accept it and know that they're worth it. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, you know, the hearing. And I think that's a good transition into that because I've been intimate in the conceptualization of what it is that you've been going through. I've been going through meditations myself. You know, I've been plugging my ears up, you know, almost on a daily basis. I was thinking about it. I did a meditation in the sauna where I had my favorite song blasting through the Bluetooth in the sauna. And then I plugged my ears up and I was only able to hear just like 10% of it. And I was speaking to myself, only hearing the vibration of my throat, but not hearing the nuance of my voice. And I just wanted to try to get a 1%, a decimal of a fraction of what it is that you might be experiencing. And it was a really impactful moment for me to embody the sound loss and be able to feel the deafening of our world and the deafening of your own voice. Can you let us know exactly what the hell is going on and where you're at with that? Mm-hmm. And we've kind of made it our mission here, and we're starting the process. and we're aligning with the right people, and we're focusing on multidisciplinary methods of really approaching this, because we're not going to leave you in the dark alone. It's not happening on our watch. And this is a moment in our life where we're feeling called to step up and be there by your side throughout this process. There's actually no greater gift than I can receive than to be part of the awareness and the unfolding of this. So I'm almost doing it for myself. Okay. So I'm not trying to, you know, make you feel a certain way. This is actually a practice of self-love. I want the audience to receive this and know what's going on and knowing how you're evolving through it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm excited to tell the story, the new story, as we walk through solution-based practices to identify what the problem is and to solve it.
It makes me emotional just hearing that you have placed yourself in situations and thought beyond your own experience into my experience, and then put yourself in ways that have dimmed down your ability to hear the space for you to allow your empathy to be able to feel me. Mm-hmm. And it makes me emotional because most people just, like, I tell them once and then they forget about it, right? Like, it's, and I get that, and I don't expect anything from anybody. And the thing with hearing loss is it's invisible and it's extremely lonely. Mm. Because people can't meet me if they've not fully experienced it. And I don't know many people that have been born with their hearing and have lost it over time. And I am witnessing and experiencing my world going quiet. And it's really scary. It's like, it's not something that you just go, oh, okay, I've accepted this. This is just my fate. You have to accept it on an hourly basis, on a minutely basis, if I'm around people. Even me coming down to spend 2 days with you guys, I get nervous because I have unique situations and I have a very unique way of perceiving reality, and it's not understood by everybody. And it can create this narrative inside of my being that says there's something broken about me and it's not lovable. And I know that that's a story, and it's a very convincing story, because there's one thing to go in social situations as a high empath that you get social anxiety, but then there's that. And then there's the other level of going into a social space of feeling everybody's thoughts, emotions, past experiences, future experiences, full shamanic experience, and on top of that, not actually hear what's going on. So there is so many layers to the hearing loss that I'm navigating on a daily basis. And it was about a decade ago that my brother and I were diagnosed with a hereditary hearing disorder, that the doctor told us that we were going deaf, and that because it's the hair follicles on the inner ear that pick up the sound vibration, they're dying at a rapid rate. There's no cure that they know of that brings these hairs back. So basically our world's going silent. There's nothing we can do about it, but like kind of good luck sort of thing. And my mother was adamant about like figuring out solutions and figuring out ways. And it was just one thing after the next of just like being disappointed. And so I'd build my hopes and then drop even further down, and build my hopes and then drop even further down of sadness and like feeling like hopeless in it. So I realized like I'm not ready to open this up to people anymore. Like I've had so many people that have been like, I can help with that. I can help with that. I'm a Reiki healer and I can help that. And they put their hands over my ears and I'm like, yeah. I don't mean to insult you, but like, this is an insult to me of like what has actually like had to happen for this for me to be in this position. And just because you think that you've got like these magical hands, and listen, I love Reiki, like I do it myself, but like it's deeper than this. This is like a contract that was written long ago, far away, for me to actually be pushed beyond my limits of being human, of the 5 sensory experience, into the existential perception, to actually navigate the world through essence, not through appearance. Mm-hmm. And that has been the greatest thing that has catapulted me into my service to the planet and into the way that I perceive reality in a very unique lens. Now,
is that your reframe? Have you reframed that?
Fully reframed.
But I don't. We're not throwing in the white flag. But That's the reframe, and that's there. That's present.
100%.
Other senses are now expanding to their highest potential, unlike anything that I could ever perceive.
The way that I perceive reality is almost kind of like the way that my dog perceives reality. Like, my dog will know as soon as my dog meets somebody, like, whether we're like, roll over, or like, right. And it's not about what it is that they're even doing or have access to on a conscious level, but it is so much in-depth information from the moment that an eye may flicker 1 degree to the right, or if we're looking top left or top right, where we're pulling our information from the brain, is it memory or is it imagination? Like, there are different cues that are happening on a micro level moment, that information in just one human, and recognizing also when we're operating in the realm beyond the five senses, and into the realm of extrasensory perception, that the shamanic space is that you sit here, yes, just you sitting here in this moment, the only moment that you have for the rest of your life, but there's also you and all of your life experiences up until this point, and the way you've chosen to respond to them, that has stored information on a data level in a zip filing system in your body that sits with you right now in this present moment, that is information. If you can get quiet enough to listen to it, you can hear it. Right. And we are so limited to our five senses that we don't give ourselves the access to that extrasensory perception of our intuition, our gut sense. Every time we listen to our intuition, it gets stronger. Every time we take action on our intuition, it gets stronger. We all have this available to us, but we are limited to our five senses. Mm-hmm. So I've had to make peace with that I don't operate like everybody else does. And I have to make peace with, like, I'm at a birthday party and all of a sudden now we've gone into a sharing circle and then I can't hear shit. And this sharing circle is long as fuck. Like, we're going to be in here for like 2 hours and I'm going to be sitting here like, hey, why can't I hear anything? Now, from the outside, it's going to look rude if Blue gets up and walks out the room during a sharing circle.
Who gives a fuck?
Well, that's the piece. It's like, if I can actually choose myself in this moment and recognize I'm going to be judged for getting up and walking out, but people don't know my experience. Yeah. If I can choose myself enough to honor what it is that I need right now, then that is an act of self-love, which then becomes the thing that I found everything I create from. Right. And so I've not only had to just be checked on self-love, being human on planet Earth, which is constantly bombarding us with ways of why we shouldn't love ourselves. But then in addition to that, love myself when I don't feel like I'm even in a room, or I'm in a room full of people and I feel like I'm alone, and to choose myself in that moment. So what it's done is expanded my capacity to love myself and to be authentic to what it is that I'm actually experiencing beyond what is needed in the moment or what is validated by somebody outside of myself. The gifts that have presented themselves from my hearing loss are completely insummable. Like they are just so immense. And the shadow of deafness in the gene keys is only the gift of epiphany and insight. Like, I have the ability to read people, like deep reading somebody. And my intuition will smell it from a mile off. It's almost like it's not about the word, it's about the frequency behind the word. Mm-hmm. Two people could be saying the exact same thing, and one person is saying it because it's authentic, and one person is saying it because they think that's what it wants to be heard. And it will hold a charge of embodied magnetism in it, and it's the same exact word. Mm. And so it's the ability to detect beyond the illusion. And I've realized that
the visual? Is it something that you're picking up in sight?
It's a feeling.
Is it quantum to the point where it's an energetic signature and you're feeling the toroidal field coming off much more clear, much more palpable?
It's like if I was to like place like a frequency, visual frequency to it.
Right.
There's like when something is resonance embodied and authentically true, it's like, and when something is being said because of external validation, because I think this is what I want you to hear, it doesn't hit a chord of resonance.
Right.
And it's resonance of why I choose to do the things that I do. Mm-hmm. It's when it hits, hey, Blue, would you like to come over to this experience? And I feel into it. And my body's like, yeah, even though my mind doesn't understand why I just said yes to that. Mm-hmm. It's resonance.
Right.
And it leads to a really beautiful gift.
Right.
And then there's being a people pleaser and like just doing things because I think that if I say this or I'll do this or I show up in this way, then maybe you'll like me, which is some sort of external validation, which is what we were talking about before. It's dissonance.
Yeah.
So then I have to play out that entire timeline based off the first domino push with dissonance.
Yeah.
And then you go through the lesson and the lesson keeps repeating itself until you actually learn to listen to what actually is going on internally.
Right.
So when this sense was dampened, Albert Einstein talks about how energy is not created nor destroyed. It only changes in form.
That's right.
So if my energy is no longer picking up what is going on in my external reality, I've not lost any energy. I haven't lost the sense. Mm-hmm. I've just heightened in other capacities. And there's another capacity to be able to feel my way through reality. Mm. Which is based off of dissonance or resonance. It's not right or wrong. It's not good or bad. It's just resonance and dissonance. Mm. And there's certain food that resonates with my body and there's certain food that doesn't resonate with my body. There's certain people that resonate with my with the way that I choose to show up in the world. There's certain people that don't resonate with it. Mm. And there's like, I mean, it's kind of based off of feeling. There's like NPCs and PCs. There's like non-playable characters and playable characters. As soon as I meet somebody, I'll know if they're a PC or not. They're a playable character in my timeline. They're like my fractal family. I can feel it. I can smell it. I can taste it. I can touch it. And I can definitely feel it when I'm like in their physical orbit.
Right.
And so what this has done is it's allowed me to align with the people that I'm here to work with much faster beyond the illusion. Because I live in LA. I have this sparkly thing. What do you think about this? And I've fallen under the trap many times where I've been like, oh, this is exciting. This could advance my career. Mm. Shadow side of the Leo, which is my south node in my astrology, which is thinking that all that glitters is gold. I've learned some tough lessons on that one.
Yeah.
And what it's done is it's just strengthened my sort of discernment of not all that glitters is gold. Sometimes what glitters is absolute horseshit.
That's right. It's pure poison and it's complete danger.
Yeah.
Are you, do you find yourself being more apprehensive or is it more coming from a core level of discernment now where you're not shut down, you're not turned off? You know, the whole adage, oh, I've had my previous relationship was terrible. That really fucked her up or mm-hmm. he doesn't trust women anymore or whatever it is. It's all these different stories and programs and things of that nature. Are you now in a position where you're sitting in a place of mastery? Mm-hmm. And it's now like you can accommodate your own decisions based on discernment and not just based on, you know, the trials and tribulations of the previous experience.
Mm-hmm. I've realized that I am genuinely loving to anybody that's like presents themselves into my life. I don't let everybody in. Hair or no. Like it's like a tiny table that has about 5 seats at it.
Yeah.
And that is it. And not everybody gets a seat at my table while simultaneously I'm going to keep my heart open and be loving. Mm. And genuinely, whoever presents himself in my field and my line of sight and my field of awareness, that person is there for a specific reason and I am the student of this person. And that is just, it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's somebody opening the door for me at a hotel entrance or somebody waiting on the table in a restaurant or somebody that's this powerful person that's being presented in my life. It doesn't matter. There is a universal treating everybody to make sure that everybody feels seen, heard, acknowledged, and respected. Mm. And not everybody has a seat at my immediate table. And there's a high level of discernment with who actually comes into my bedroom and sits with me on the floor and gets an intimate moment of connection with me for a reason. And I'm loving and genuinely loving. Mm. But there is a cold dance with like boundaries and discernment and something that I'm continuing to learn, which is funny because Jamie, before you came in the podcast, Jamie sat in that chair and she was asking me about one of my alter ego characters. And her name is Marge. And she's this old lady that do not give a fuck. Like she just lay it down. And that is the crone archetype, which is I've got nothing to prove. And I've got nothing to need you to be validated or need you to like me. That's the crone energy. It's the elder wisdom that is like, I've done my life. I know who I am. I know why I'm here. I know how I serve. I don't need you to tell me. That's crone energy that like is always welcomed in. And I have these alter egos that allow me to access a little bit of that. And what I'm learning currently as I'm moving from the maiden into the mother archetype, and then eventually like picking up little bits of the crone, but I'm not there yet, is that if something doesn't resonate with me, to lovingly articulate it. Because there's that part of me that just doesn't want to hurt someone's feelings. There's what it is that I see. And the other day I practiced this with a friend that I shared with her that there was like a feeling that I felt on an unconscious level that she needs to validate. She needs me to validate her presence in the space, and it's draining for me. And so the old way of doing things was to just stop communicating with her. Which then feeds into the stories of unworthiness, which is the very thing that I'm sensing in the first place. And it continues a self-fulfilling prophecy that she keeps recycling and the friends just keep pushing her away. Or to sit with her and be like, I feel your heart. I feel how much you care and how much you love. And I also feel that there's something deeply unresolved within your being that needs me to validate your presence, which actually drains me over time. And it's making me want to distance myself from you, even though I love you deeply. And I just freed her and freed myself in that truth. And so I'm learning the levels of discernment of who has a seat at the table. And for those that are connections and friends, but they're not my immediate tribe, and those that I feel certain things with, to just be lovingly honest. Because that's actually what love does. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a good friend, be honest. And then people aren't having to tiptoe around you because there's this unspoken truth that's felt in the space. And so as I transmute the people pleaser in me, that I don't need you to validate that I'm worthy in the space, and that because I love you, I'm going to be really honest with how I'm feeling, then that's actually where true intimacy is born. And if you break the word intimacy down, it's into me, you see. Into me, you see. Mm-hmm. That's love. So I'm still unpacking the gift of my hearing life. I want to even take the word loss out of that. And my hearing journey.
Evolution.
My hearing evolution.
Yeah.
And I just also want to take a moment to say thank you. Like, it is deeply touching me in ways that is expanding my capacity to receive. From hearing you sitting in your sauna and plugging your ears and listening to music at a 10% capacity. Like, I'm amazed to have an ally and allies on this journey that are not willing to sit by the sideline and watch my world go quiet when you have resources, connections, awareness, and knowledge that could help my experience without asking for anything in return. That is blowing my mind and not taken for granted. And also, at the same time, a very vulnerable journey of reopening up this very sensitive topic in my life that is very delicate and has come with so much pain, so much grief. Like, I'm so grateful for ayahuasca specifically in a safe, controlled environment that has given me access to tap into that grief that I didn't know had an end. But I was masking it and just keeping myself busy and doing all the things and scrolling on a gram and doing the stuff and eating the food, and to not actually have to feel what felt like a lifetime of grief that I was sitting on. And I remember being in a tobacco ceremony with an indigenous elder while she had this, like, it's like a cigar, and you just let it smoke it down until the ash drops off. And when the ash drops off, then you're ready to, and she reads your fortune, or she reads what's going on with you. And she read the ash of my tobacco and she said, "You have a sadness inside of you that needs an outlet." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about. I'm fine. I'm having a great time with my friends. We're hanging out. We're around the bonfire. We're singing medicine songs. I don't know what you're talking about." And it did not hit because it was not in my conscious awareness. But what she was talking about was every single time I completely spiritually bypassed myself and said, "This is happening for a reason," and swallowed it. This is happening for a reason, and swallowed it. Hundreds, if not thousands of times, that then sat in my gut of this untapped grief that needed to be felt and was making me busy so that I didn't have to feel it. And when I laid on that healing mat in that ayahuasca ceremony, and somebody or some Icaros or something, the medicine, the space, the facilitator, everything and anything in between gave me the right environment to tap into that grief, I cried like I have never cried before for hours. I think 6 hours at least, deep, deep wailing that my world was going silent in my 20s at the time. And once I could actually feel all of it, genuinely to the core of my being, then I was ready to rewrite the story. But not until I'd felt all of it, because otherwise I was just continuing to spiritually bypass myself. And then, of course, subsequently feel uncomfortable by other people's process when I'm sitting around them. And that is not holding space. Mm. So to truly hold space and to truly love another is to learn to go to the depth of your grief and love yourself for it. And then that's where your true service is born.
Thank you, sister. Thank you for taking us on that wild, beautiful, cathartic ride into the depths of your pain and the suppression that you put on your body and the suppression you put on your soul. Well, accurately said, the auditory file is drifting and drifting and drifting. And so it just really puts things on onus for us to have a level of gratitude that we might not be able to offer ourselves in moments because of bullshit around us. And to hear a story like that and to hear the minutia and every detail of it, it really makes things clear. And it gives me more energy to want to drive further and figure this out and be at least a part of the plan to hold your hand through the process. And it's not something that we thought about consciously. Mm-hmm. It was just from the real connection. Because when I look at you, I'd see myself. So it was really just a practice of self-love. Mm-hmm. And it's the greatest honor to be able to be on this ride with you, mm-hmm. and to come across you in this life. After all the work, after all the pain, after, you know, the grieving of my father, after the dark night of the soul, I can empathetically sit there with you and feel it. And everyone listening to this right now, I think this is one of those conversations that you can always turn to in those moments where you feel like you're suffocating, where you feel like the walls are coming down, where you feel like your life is built on a house of cards. This is one of those moments where you can always go back to and experience it on a very, very visceral level. I really appreciate you being able to have the courage to offer that in your truest of truths. That's so beautiful. With that, what are you so fucking stoked about right now? What is unfolding for Blue right now? Because we're all on board. We're all there. Wow, our conversations one and two, yeah. Should just turn it into one video. Yeah. And create like a vortex with it.
It's literally
like with visuals and meditation stops. Fuck.
It's a journey. Fuck. We seem to have set up a pretty deep, wide contract here.
I'm sweating in this, not because it's warm in here, but because of the amount of energy that's coming off is so palpable. I can feel it. Like the hairs on my neck are sticking out, my ears are wiggling. Oh, you see that? My ears wiggle.
Look at those moving.
Yeah.
Dang it, boy.
Yeah, I could feel them perk up.
It's a party trick.
Yeah, it's a party trick. But it's legit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like, you know, grandmother is entering me right now. I can feel her. I can feel the tryptamines expanding. Mm-hmm. Did I ever tell you my perspective on tryptamines and what DMT is, the components of it? Mm-mm. It's under the postulation of experience that DMT is the material world chemical that transports the soul in and out of the body. Mm. So when we freebase 5-methoxydimethyltryptamine or we drink ayahuasca and metabolize it, our body goes into the in-between stage. Mm-hmm. And I believe there's a soul in that body. I believe there's a soul in this body. And that going into the veil, crossing the veil, goes into that state. And that state is nowhere where that false ego, that scarred, wounded soul can live and operate. Mm. Mm-hmm. And so when you go into that realm, whether it's the feminine consciousness taking you into there or not, as you re-entry, it's scraping off all that false crap, all that tissue, all that materialism, mechanistic way of thinking, pain programs, and you're able to see and access the pain. You're able to see and access those things that are sitting there that need to be, you know, I would say acknowledged. Mm. And so that, hearing you talk about the purge, the cathartic cry, the rebirth, and just thinking of grandmother ayahuasca, it's just like shaking me to my core right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm also happy that you said that going into a ceremony like that with intention, with safety, with protocols, and with respect and reverence. I'm so glad that you said that, because these are things that without that level of discernment, it's completely disrespectful to the medicine. It's disrespectful to the culture. It's disrespectful to the indigenous. And most of all, it's very disrespectful to yourself. Mm-hmm. And so these are things that need to be applied with that level of purity and honesty and integrity. So I really appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. Would you go and have brain surgery with someone with dirty tools?
No, of course not.
Hell no.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're literally opening up your psychic field That's to right. somebody else's conscious awareness. You can't choose your shaman like because you trust them with your life, because it is.
Absolutely right.
Just because it's your shamanic realm, we don't put emphasis on it because our five senses can't quite detect it. But we need some energetic hygiene and intention and reverence and respect up in here. Otherwise, what are we doing?
Oh.
That's a whole podcast in itself.
Yeah, I'd love to do a third with you about the entheogen world and our experiences mm-hmm. and our perspectives. Mm-hmm. I did a really powerful podcast with Pete Evans, and he asked me right when I got back from ceremony, my channel was wide open, mm-hmm. and it just came out like a river. And you know, I'm very apprehensive with the communities out there that are blasting people into other worlds without really holding the space and also the integrative aspects of it, mm-hmm. because integration is tremendously more important than the trip. Mm-hmm. So that's part three with us. It's Chervene and Blue, the Psychedelic Chronicles. So what are you, as we move through this and we come to the unraveling part of the destination here, or the third part, what are you so fucking stoked about right now? Because I can think of a million things, but where are you at right now? I know we possibly have Egypt together pretty soon, yeah. But go on.
Oh, it's going to be sick, by the way. Yeah, I got to tell you about
it.
It's
my birthday, by the way.
It's your birthday?
Well, December 9th. We're gonna be in the... Oh, we're going to go on the top
ship. That makes me want to shimmy in the king's chamber. Are you kidding me? It's your birthday. Oh, my goodness. This is so good. I just thought it couldn't get any better. I
was like, the sarcophagus.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. We got to talk about this after the podcast. But what I'm really excited about right now, honestly, and I hope this doesn't sound super cliche, but I'm so excited to be me and to live my life just the way that it is. I am so excited that I get to have this life that I have created from blood, sweat, and tears, devotion, and love, and a very deep level of listening and a lot of sacrifice. And I've got to a point now where I genuinely love my life. Mm. And then I get to live it. Like everything just stems from that place. But I think that when that piece locks in, then it creates this Midas touch, because everything it's touched with thank you, even the shitty, crunchiest moments, there's still my higher self with a rattle going, hey, ding, 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 ding. And I'm like, ah, minute. Ding, 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 ding. That is literally my consciousness watching my other consciousness, or the split of it, of the duality of the experience. And I'm still in a deep sense of thank you. Even when I'm snotty out my nose and I'm all falls in front of my altar going, why? Ding, 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 ding. I'm like, okay, God, yes, we are in this.
All sides.
this is something that can never leave, is a sense of self-awareness that is the greatest gift we can ever give ourselves. And once it is locked in, we get to navigate this incredible reality of infinite possibilities from a place of thank you. I feel like I'm living that right now. So I haven't got there. There's no destination. This is an entire journey. I'm going to learn. I'm going to be brought to my knees. I'm going to be in ecstatic bliss. I'm going to fall in love. I'm going to have my heart broken. I'm going to go through grief. People are going to die. Things are going to happen from this point forward. Yeah. And I will always be me. And I'm stoked about it.
This is truly wake the fake up, you know? And true embodiment and having a deja blue moment. Gratitude is just a word. Honor and reverence are just adjectives and perspectives. But true love is defined by seeing yourself and your best friend and your sister. And from all of us here, we love you unconditionally. And thank you for showing up today and giving us a whole lot of you. We received it all. And I know this is going to be powerful medicine for so many. Love you, Blue.
I love you, brother. And I also just want to reflect back. Thank you so much for your curiosity that has led you not only to heal yourself, but to has create a solution for other people, and not just one person or two people, but for millions of people around this planet to actually have practical solutions to some of our greatest issues. I've witnessed you in the way that you show up and care for your people. People feel taken care of in your presence. And so that is always a reflection for me around leadership, or somebody that stepped into a position of leadership, is what is happening behind the scenes. And what is happening from my peripheral view and just my essence and my sense of feeling is genuine care, deep embodiment, while also the permission to expand who you were yesterday, today, and the permission that is flying out of you if everybody blessed enough to be in your sphere. So thank you so much for creating content and media as medicine, and to utilizing your platform and your voice to maybe say unfavorable truths, but at least they are authentic and true, not from just a place of intuition, but also from a place of deep study, knowledge, understanding, listening, and being a student of masters that have come before us. So it is truly seen, felt, acknowledged, and honored. And I'm really grateful that you have brought me on your platform today, and through Jess and Jamie and all of the love that has been completely just bathed over me since the moment that I got here this morning. I just want to say thank you to all of you for having me.
No words. That's the greatest gift I can receive. Thank you. Deepest level of gratitude. Now let's have the best fucking night ever.